dana vallava iri varadhari. Yasoda nandana braja jana randana. Yasoda nandana braja jana randana. Yamuna tiravana. Dari Yamuna Tiravana Dari Nidaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Deya Radha Vrindavan Chanda Radha Vrindavan Chanda Radha. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jayam Vishnupat Paramahamsa Paravraja Kacharya Astuto Satasisim Mathistivayingre Silabe Saranaravinda Shila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaja Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anand Koti Vaishnavarinda Ki Jai His Confounded Acharya Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai Samavita Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to C.C. Guru and Shigananga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, welcome. Bhima Kama. It is so nice to see your happy, smiling face. We are reading this morning from the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 14th chapter, text number 36. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. I'm sorry, son. Sajya sana sanadi upaboga vihino yavat apratilapta manorato pargata dane vasita batis tatas Tato Vamanadini Janat abhilabhate. Kvachichinadanashayasanashanat dyupabhogavihino yavat apratilapta manura tapagatadane vasita matistatastato vamanadinijanat abhilabhate. This was a speculative melody. But it came from a well-intentioned heart. Kvachit, sometimes, shinadanaha, not having sufficient money, shayasana, asanadi, accommodation for sleeping, sitting or eating, upaboga, of material enjoyment, vihinaha, being bereft, yavat, as long as, apratilapta, not achieved, manorata, by his desire, upagata, obtained, Adane, in seizing by unfair means, avasita mati, whose mind is determined, tataha, because of that, tataha, from that, avamana adini, insults and punishment. Sorry. Janat, from the people in general. Abhilabhate, he gets. Translation. Sometimes, having no money, the conditioned soul does not get sufficient accommodations. Sometimes he doesn't even have a place to sit, nor does he have the other necessities. In other words, he falls into scarcity. And at that time, when he is unable to secure the necessities by fair means, he decides to seize the property of others unfairly. When he cannot get the things he wants, he simply receives insults from others and thus becomes very morose. For those of us who have joined the series of Bhagavatam classes only recently, we are reading from a chapter which describes the shortcomings of material enjoyment. Here we see that someone gets so poor out of having no money that he begins to steal from others, which brings a violent reaction by the others about, who begin to punish him. Purport. It is said that necessity knows no law. When the conditioned soul needs money to acquire life's bare necessities, he adopts any means. He begs, borrows, or steals. Instead of receiving these things, he is insulted and chastised. Unless one is very well organized, one cannot accumulate riches by unfair means. Even if one acquires riches by unfair means, he cannot avoid punishment and insult from the government or the general populace. There are many instances of important people embezzling money. What does this mean? Embezzling, please. To thank you very much. These important people who embezzle money get caught and are put in prison. One may be able to avoid the punishment of prison, but one cannot avoid the punishment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who works through the agency of material nature. This is described in Bhagavad Gita 7.14. Daivishesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaja. Nature is very cruel. She does not excuse anyone. When people do not care for nature, they commit all kinds of sinful activities, and consequently, they have to suffer. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paskachyare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garada Siva Sadi Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This is yet another verse describing the very desperate condition of a person who has fallen into the material world. In the Upanishads, we find a very interesting analogy of a fallen soul, which I would like to tell you, because it blends in so perfectly with this particular chapter. The Upanishads compare all of us with a man who, in need of money, went into the forest to obtain some natural resources. In the old times, people would go into the forests not only to find roots for eating, but also to find minerals like crystals and so on in certain caves, and also gold. So this man, who had become very poor due to some economical reason, went into the forest in order to obtain gold and riches. He walked for quite some time, and all of a sudden he fell deep, 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 deep down. He landed in a net which caught him. It's quite a story. And due to the shock of falling all of a sudden, he lost his memory. You might by now ask, what is this strange story? I do not understand. You will understand in a moment. For now, let us stay with the events as they developed. The people, all of a sudden, he was surrounded by aborigines who brought him out of the net, and who, when they found out about his condition of being totally forgetful and bewildered, decided, here is our next king. You must know that these aborigines who lived in the depths of an abyss had put this device there. They had covered the abyss with some straw and some leaves. And they were in the custom that anyone who fell into the abyss, and this was the condition, who had totally forgotten who he was made their king, but only for 1 year. After the year, the aborigines would capture their newly crowned king, and they would slaughter him and boil him in a pot of water, and then they would, please don't mind, it's, I know it's before breakfast, and you, but they would cut up the body of the king and cut it in many small little pieces, which they then would distribute amongst themselves. They had the belief that anyone who ate king's meat would become next to immortal. In some distant places of Orissa, you can find even today human sacrifices. I do not know if this is known to you, but it is there. Because since time immemorial, people who believe in human sacrifices somehow believe that eating that meat of a properly sacrificed human being will grant them immortality. This is a tamasic belief. So this man was made the king for exactly 1 year. He was dressed in a royal garment. He had a mini skirt, and he was dancing and singing like all the others. Was feeling very comfortable because of being the king. Sri Gaurangi will go to the Amazonas, and we hope that she will not be made queen under such conditions by one of these tribes. Please take care so that you come healthy and happy back into our association. I mean, some of these wild people are really wild. Hare Krishna. So, needless to say, all his family and relatives were wondering, where is that person? He was missed. One day, his brother decided, let me search in the jungle. Maybe he is there. And he went, and he came to this exact same spot, and he also went down. And was caught by the net. He broke his leg, but he didn't break his memory. When the aborigines found him, he was screaming in pain. They immediately carried him to the medicinal doctor, this doctor knew how to cure his broken leg. Now, after exactly 2 weeks, he was able to come out of his hut. Do you know what he saw when he went on the street? He saw his brother dressed in an unknown way, according to the custom of this tribe, coming down the street. He felt great happiness. I have found my brother. No matter how he looks, he is my brother. And he went to him and embraced him, and with tears in his eyes said, "Brother, I'm so happy I have found you." But the brother, who was totally forgetful of his previous life before his fall, and looked at him with blank eyes and said, "I do not know you. How comes that you dare to call your king in such confidential terms?" brother, brother, please recognize me. The so-called king stared at him, and then ordered his men, take him away, please. He's a disturbance. This brother tried many times to get in contact with the king and tell him that he had a life outside of the abyss and he was not a dweller of this moist and dark place. But the king did not want to listen. After all, he was king. One day, the brother found out from someone about the custom. He, in other words, was informed that his brother, the king, had only 2 weeks more to live. And as a result, he became very, very, very apprehensive. One night, he went to his brother, who thought he was a king, and said, brother, please wake up. You only have 2 more weeks. Then these people will cruelly butcher you and boil your meat. What do you think, Bhakta Gregor? Gregor doesn't know what to think. He's shocked. So, when this man who thought he is the king heard again and again about from his brother, some faint memory came, and as a result he asked one of his trusted servants, is it true that I will be sacrificed? And the servant said, I'm not allowed to speak about it, but please come this evening into my hut and I will explain to you. So that king heard in the evening that indeed he was only a king for a year, then he would be slaughtered. And by this shock, sometimes you have to treat a shock with another shock, he woke up to his natural memory and he understood, oh, my wife and children, they must be waiting. I am only here under the illusion I'm the king, but now I have found out that this illusion will soon be stopped. I must do something in order to be saved. So he went, called for his brother, and together they planned an escape by the next night. They went out of the abyss. It was a long climb. But finally, they came, and when the person who thought he was a king was finally brought to his home where he resided, he remembered his wife and his children very much, and he became normal again. This is an analogy which describes all of us. We also have fallen from the spiritual world, and we also, due to our false egos, have identified with something which we are not. We think we are maybe not a king, but we think we are an Indian or a German or an American. We have totally identified with Maya or that which is not. And as a result, we take this material life very serious and are very, very anxious to obtain our material goals. When, by Krishna's mercy, a dear brother who is spiritually enlightened comes to us and reminds us some of our spiritual identity, we are sometimes not able to accept what he says. We are revolting, but if we continue to listen very carefully and very nicely, it will be able for us, we will be able to wake up from our illusions and take to our spiritual life. This is the analogy. Some of you are so tired and you sleep, and also Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, you are very tired this morning. Please take courage and take happiness in your heart, then you will be very wakeful. So I want to talk now about a subject matter which I feel is of great importance. We also are in this situation. We have fallen, and somehow by Krishna's grace we have listened to the scriptures and the wake-up calls which have been given to us by the spiritual master and dear devotees and so on. But now we need to think very deeply how it will be possible for us to obtain our spiritual fulfillment in our life. It's very important that each devotee thinks about this question. How will I wake up completely? Sasvarup Maharaj once made a term. He spoke of the HDS syndrome, the half-death syndrome. And he was referring to a devotee who was not yet fully enlivened in his Krishna consciousness, but who was also not ordinary materialist. So we are, I believe, sometimes in the half-death category. We are convinced of our spiritual life and our spiritual identity, but somehow we cannot yet let loose of our material identification, and therefore we suffer to some extent the pangs of material existence. There's a very nice explanation how we can also become enlivened in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada once gave a wonderful lecture where he described the price for becoming Krishna conscious. And I want to read you from this lecture this morning. I hope you will enjoy it as much as other devotees have enjoyed it. Reading it, Prabhupada tells us that we can obtain Krishna by eagerness. Somehow or other, he says, due to your eagerness, you will see Krishna. That is the only qualification. In another poetry, Rupa Goswami says, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yati ko topi lapyate. This Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada then explains, I have taken this word Krishna consciousness from the word Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati. This is the actual translation in Sanskrit. Or Rupa Goswami advises, this Krishna consciousness, if it is possible, please purchase. Don't delay. Purchase immediately. Where is it available? It is a very nice thing. Yes, it is available. You can purchase. The movement is going on. And what is the price? Price? It is such a nice thing, you have to pay a price. What is that? Tatra lolyam ekalam mulyam. Simply your eagerness. That is the price. This price you have to pay. Then you will get Krishna. Immediately, Krishna is not poor. And the Krishna seller, the Krishna devotee, he is also not poor. He can distribute Krishna free, and he is doing that. Simply you have to purchase by your eagerness. This is wanted. Tatalolyam. So then Prabhupada says that someone may think he has this eagerness, but actually he has not yet obtained the eagerness. Oh, eagerness! I have got eagerness! Oh, it is not so easy. This eagerness cannot be achieved even by pious activities for millions of births. If you simply go on doing pious activities, because without being pious, you cannot approach Krishna. So if you go on doing simply pious activity, still this eagerness is not awakened. My dear devotees, how is the eagerness to Krishna, which is the only prize to obtaining Krishna, awakened? What have you thought about this subject matter? Gaur Kishore, what are your thoughts?
Association with devotees you have.
We have to get association of devotees who are eager for Krishna. And serve them, you said? And serve them. In this way, the mood of the devotees who are in their hearts will enter our heart. And this is a very good answer which Gaur Kishore has given to us. Free of cost. He has advised us on something very essential. See, eagerness to Krishna is there within everyone's heart. It is totally natural for a conditioned soul to want to obtain Krishna. It is not unnatural. It is rather natural. Krishna has a mind-enchanting beauty and wonderful qualities which attract the living entity to him, even if he just hears about Krishna. For instance, during kirtan, if a devotee hears about Krishna during kirtan, he feels attracted. Or when he is hearing a description of Lord Krishna, he immediately develops this attraction for Krishna. This is natural for a devotee. There are what is called udipans, which bring out that natural attraction to Lord Krishna. Udipans are, you can call them stimulants. And yesterday I read in the Gita Mala about some of these udipans. Krishna is so mind-enchantingly beautiful that if you just, how do you say, if you think about his beautiful smile, you will be actually attracted to Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur advises us devotees that we should meditate each day about the smiling face of Lord Krishna. He smiles as his face is framed by his curly hair. You should smile about Lord, you should meditate about Krishna's smile. By the way, this was also Narada Muni's instruction to Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was instructed by Narada Muni to meditate about the smile of the Lord within the heart. And in the fourth canto, it is also advised. It says, the smile of the Lord in the heart will act like a sun which dries away the ocean of tears which you cry. Do you know, Mahaprabhu, that within one lifetime the average person cries 64 liters of tears? 64 liters. This is like a major aquarium full of fishes. The average person. And if he is an emotional Mataji, he may cry even up to 85 liters, 90 liters, no problem for a Mataji. Yes, this is average calculation of German scientists. So there is somewhere an ocean of tears where each one of you contributes. I can imagine that at this moment, even in New Vrindavan, there is someone who cries and who contributes to this ocean of tears. This ocean of tears becomes evaporated. Is this the proper English word? Evaporated. Solid evaporation takes place if one meditates about the smile of the Lord. Therefore, the yogi must meditate about smiling Krishna. Krishna always smiles. Even when there is a difficulty. You know, when Arjuna broke down, had his breakdown before Lord Krishna, just before the battle of Kurukshetra, and told him that he thought himself unable to fight, and he cried. And what did Krishna do? He didn't become totally, let me say, on the same wavelengths as Arjuna. No, he smiled. He smiled. Krishna is so wonderful that he smiles. And the misery, and in this way, relativates all the miseries, even the ocean of misery which is in the material world. He just looks over it and smile tells us, why do you take it so serious? Why do you take the storm, the dust storm of Maya, which presents so many, so much confusion and darkness before you, why do you take it so serious? Krishna just smiles about it. And in this way, the material miseries flee away from Krishna. So to meditate about Lord Krishna's smile is an udipan, in which Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it's a stimulant to stimulate our ecstatic love for Krishna. Similarly, Krishna's buffalo horn on which he blows, the ankle bells which make a sweet tingle-de-tingle as Krishna walks. The rustling of Krishna's dhoti as he walks, it sounds like this, as Lord Krishna comes closer to his devotee. His ecstatic pastimes and his footprints on the ground are also stimulants or udipans which arise our natural love for him. In our Krishna consciousness we should understand that Krishna has this potency to evoke love because he is the supreme lovable person. There's a verse where you see, find a gopi advising another gopi by saying, Smerang bangitara parichitam sachi vistirnatishtim vamsinyastarada kishalayam ujvalam chandrakena govindakyam haritanu mitakishitirtopakante ma prekshishta shtavayadi sake o bandhu sangas tiranga. My dear friend, there is one boy. His name is Govinda. He is standing on the bank of Yamuna near the Keshi Ghat, and he is playing on his flute. And he is so beautiful that especially during full moon night, please do not go there. So beautiful. Then Prabhupada begins to laugh. Ha Why? Now, because if you have got the intention to enjoy in this material world with your family members, wife, children, husband, please do not go there. Krishna always stands in a three-curved way with his flute. This is Tribhanga Murari, Tribhanga, three places he spent. So don't go there. See, Krishna has this ability that the gopis warn each other. He will pull your heart towards you, and you will become totally enchanted by his fascinating qualities. So if you want to have peace in your material life, then don't go there. Of course, this is an indirect way of saying, please go there, run as soon as possible to Lord Krishna, because he will pull you out of the material existence. So, because Krishna's quality of attracting conditioned souls is very, very remarkable. It is very, it is something quite extraordinary. But when a conditioned soul cannot yet perceive Lord Krishna, it is very, very difficult for him to feel even this attractiveness of Lord Krishna. When we hear, for instance, about Krishna's attractiveness, then certain members of us fall asleep. We are like five devotees at the moment who are resting because they cannot feel this attractive potency of Lord Krishna. It is quite natural for a conditioned soul. It's nothing to be totally ashamed of. Well, in one way, it is something to be terribly ashamed of, to not feel attracted to Lord Krishna. So at that moment, this is our sad situation. I would also fall asleep if I wouldn't talk. Talking and sleeping doesn't go well together. I'm not saying this in a judgmental way. I'm just factually describing our lack of attraction to Lord Krishna. Even if we hear about the Udipans, which are discussed by devotees, the stimulants, we fall asleep, no interest. So for us, it is very important, therefore, to follow the advice which has been given by Gokishore Prabhu. We have to meet devotees who do have this attraction to Lord Krishna. If we are together with devotees who also don't have this attraction, like we will not become attracted to Krishna. But we must find these devotees, these rare devotees in this world, who are the ornament of this sad material world, who do have this attraction in their heart. And we must hear from them regularly, and we must very much we must allow our heart to be shaped and formed by these devotees. This is so important, my dear devotees. Otherwise, we will remain in the half, the HDS syndrome, the half-dead syndrome. This is very, very disturbing. Oof, to be always in. Prabhupada, he talks about this. He says, so we have to keep ourselves always in the fire of Krishna consciousness. Then everything is all right. Otherwise, it will become dull. Now Prabhupada will speak about deity worship. Deity worship will simply become idol worship. That's all. That's the difference between idol worship and deity worship. If there is no life, then it is idol worship, hedonism. And when there is life, feeling, where is Krishna? Here is Krishna. Oh, I have to serve Krishna. I have to dress him. I have to serve Radharani. She is here, or I must do it very nicely. And as far as possible, decorate her to the best of my capacity. In this way, if you always feel Krishna conscious, then you are fire, the same example, keeping with the fire. But if you think it is a brass-made doll, I mean to say an idol, if you think this is a brass-made idol, then it will remain a brass-made idol to you forever. But if you elevate yourself to the higher platform of Krishna consciousness, then this Krishna will talk with you. This Krishna will talk with you. At another time, Srila Prabhupada had given Vamsidas Babaji as an example. Vamsidas Babaji traveled with his ox cart and his deities. He traveled with two Gonitai deities, Radha Krishna deity, and a small Gopal. Five deities he had, and big deities, like very big from here to. We should not. When we show deities, we should always make this gesture. Because this means the form is limited, but this opens to both sides. So the deity is unlimited. That's why we show the form of the deity like this. It's so very nice, huh? So I'm sorry, I guess it's very difficult to look like a Bharatanatyam dancer. Like this, you know, this. This is where the deities of Gonitai. Now, when a person came and asked Vamsidas Babaji for a certain question, he would turn right to Gonitai and say, "What do you say? What do you think?" Then he listened. And then he said to the person, "Gonitai says this." Amazing, isn't it? So, this Krishna will talk with you if you elevate yourself to the higher platform of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada says something very moving. Because the Bhakta is offering, Krishna cannot refuse. The real thing is bhakti. What you can offer to Krishna, everything belongs to Krishna. What you have got, what is your value? And what is the value of your things? It is nothing. Therefore, the real thing is bhakti. Real thing is your feeling. Krishna, kindly take it. I have no qualification. I am most rotten, fallen, but... Then Prabhupada begins to cry. I have brought the thing for you. Please take it. This will be accepted. Don't be puffed up. Always be careful. You're dealing with Krishna. That is my request. Thank you very much. Yes. This is what I really want to say. We must somehow get this eagerness for Lord Krishna, this bhakti in our heart, this preeti. Preeti is also a word for love. We must develop this, and it only can develop if we allow ourselves to become solidly infected by the qualities of Srila Prabhupada. We should not be afraid. This infection is necessary. The infection of eagerness to please Lord Krishna. The infection to be with Lord Krishna. Normally infections are carried by the breath. In Europe, we had, in the medieval times, the pestilence. people would cough at each other and oh, they would be infected immediately. The pure devotee infects us by his words. His words, which are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam as carrying the dust from the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Krishna has feet are compared to lotus flower, lotus flowers. And when the pure devotee speaks about Lord Krishna, a wind will go over Lord Krishna's feet, accumulate the saffron pollen, and bring them to us in our perception. Therefore, it's very helpful to sometimes listen to tapes of Srila Prabhupada or to listen to the Bhagavatam. I personally want to recommend you to read the chapters where Dhruva Maharaj's way or journey to Lord Krishna is described. I'm just reading it and I'm totally mesmerized and find it very, very helpful for developing bhakti and determination in devotional service. Yesterday, Mahaprabhu and myself closed the door behind us. We locked it and both of us relished that wonderful purport of 4, 9, 6. Both of us were like little children who were relishing the verse and the purport, because we felt so enlivened in our Krishna consciousness. And we felt that no one should disturb us now. We will lock the door. This is very good. This is very necessary that devotees are relishing these subjects, because only then they will become enlivened in Krishna consciousness. Oh, Krishna. So we have come to a preliminary ending. It's only preliminary, because there might be still some questions which we will try to answer to our best ability. Does any one of you have a question? Mahaprabhuji.
You said that the desire to have intense desire, we have intense desire in this material world to get prestige, to have money, and for that everybody is working. Now, answer which is given, association of devotee who has that desire, we haven't got that intense desire to have even the
association. Yeah.
So, what we have to do, whether we have to go and ask how to get the desire to have a desire.
Hare Krishna. You are a very analytical person. Mahaprabhu raises the question that we have so many misdirected desires and therefore do not like even to associate with a devotee who has the desire or the eagerness to serve Lord Krishna. I think it's very, very important to think a little bit about our desires. These desires are described to be misdirected desires. In their true form, they are actually desires for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, he makes a wonderful point by bringing all desires which we have to the desire to love Krishna. Please listen very carefully. He starts his logical analysis by saying, each one of us loves his body and takes care of the body. Today we were in the bathroom and we took so much care, it took us half an hour. And when there is some injury in the body, or we become very disturbed and we are ready to move heaven and hell to try to correct the injury. Why do we love this body so much? It's a justified question. That we eat so much all the time, feed it, comb the hair, wash it. Why do we love the body so much? The answer to this perplexing question is because there is an eternal soul in the body. That's why when the body is without a soul, throw it. It becomes a very disgusting matter. Even of a near and dear one after a few days, when it decomposes, it becomes a very terrifying vision. So then the next question is, why do we love the soul? Why is the soul lovable? It is lovable because it has the qualities in minute quantity of Lord Krishna, Sat, Chit, and Ananda. So the lovability of the, or loveliness of the soul derives from Lord Krishna. And therefore, Prabhupada argues, we ultimately love Krishna. If you wish to become free of these desires, you must become a little thoughtful and bring the desires to its original state, where it's love for Krishna. Narada Muni, this is a very, very accepted intellectual process which Narada Muni advises in a slightly different way. He has said, when you have a material desire, you must think the desire to its very end. And then you will become a little bit free of it. I would like to tell you something which is purely from this brahmachari and sannyasi view of life, but I want to tell you why I have not married. Now, I read in my life about Romeo and Julia. It's a Shakespearean story. And then I imagined Romeo and Julia would not have killed themselves in a suicide thing, but they would have lived together. Let us say they would have rented a house in Rome. And because Romeo was very lusty and there were no preventatives, they had 7 children. After 7 children, Julia didn't look as beautiful as she looked. She derived some fat around her waist, which was highly unappealing. Romeo, who became so lusty, he went to another girl and secretly had an affair with them. But then on top of it, the greatest misery happened when one day Romeo woke up in the night and there was a sound of a bear in full attack. He felt terrified and fled out of the sleeping room. But the sound continued, so he looked through the door and found out from where the sound was coming. Julia was snoring. It was not a bear. they were snoring. In Yugoslavian language, you say "hrčati." "Hrčati" means snoring. With this somewhat disillusioning story, which I do not know if Shakespeare would have liked it to be composed like this, a very interesting point is made that when we ascribe very often enjoyment to things of this world, but everything fades away into something less than an enjoyment. Therefore, those who want to enter the Grihastha marriage must, Grihastha life, must be convinced of the point that Grihastha life is for sacrifice. It is not for enjoyment. This is a wrong understanding, because in the ultimate end, you cannot enjoy it. It is temporary. And so on. So when you feel a material desire, it's very often you think the thing to the end. What is the end result? And you will see it does not look as idealistic as your mind would like to paint it. With this thinking the material desire to an end, I did not wish to disclaim Grihastha ashram. The Grihastha ashram is a very suitable ashram for most of the people of this world, and also for most of our devotees to live a spiritually centered life. And it will work beautifully when one puts in the Grihastha ashram Krishna in the center and understands, I am meant to serve my wife or my husband, and I meant to give sacrifice. Then it works. But if you think you can enjoy it ad infinitum, it is not correct. It never worked. So whenever you have a material desire, think of the desire to the end. When you like to eat much, think what it will mean the day after. You are bloated. It's very difficult to move gracefully and so on. Or if you want to any other thing to be fulfilled, think it to the end and you will see. Better be careful. So when you don't have any attraction to Krishna, you should think two things to the end. Why are you so attracted to the material life? It is only because you look for Krishna. And the other is your material desires. When you think you can find Krishna by fulfilling material desires, it won't work. The material desires will just frustrate you after some time. You're an elderly gentleman. You know what I'm talking about. It is very true. Hare Krishna. There was one more question. Yes, Prabhu.
What is the difference between Krishna, the enjoying spirit, and the conditioned living entities, the enjoying spirit?
What is the difference between Krishna's enjoying spirit and the enjoying spirit of the conditioned soul? That's correct? Yeah. See, there is, of course, a fundamental difference between Krishna and the conditioned soul. I don't think we have to speak about this because that is clear here. Our enjoying spirit, comes actually from Krishna. We have the quality of Lord Krishna. but we have directed it in the wrong way. Our enjoyment and enjoying spirit. See, it's very difficult to compare us with Krishna or compare our enjoying spirit with the enjoying spirit with Krishna, because there's really no comparison. Krishna is like the huge sun, and we are like the little little spark, you know, we can't really compare it very much. So I don't think it would be respectful to Lord Krishna to say, well, our enjoying spirit is directed towards matter, and Krishna's enjoying spirit is directed towards the spiritual world. I would feel highly uncomfortable by making such a comparison, because due to the ontological position, Krishna being Bhagavan and we being the conditioned soul, it's not possible to really compare. This is vastly different. But our enjoying spirit comes from the enjoying spirit of Lord Krishna. It's found in unlimited ways in the spiritual world. Krishna is so full of enjoyment. Krishna is existing in a realm of divine pleasure. His pleasure potency is helping him. Krishna never has to go anywhere to enjoy, because everything is happening by his pleasure potency and pleasure potencies. Whereas we always have to beg somewhere to enjoy, get enjoyment, because we don't have a pleasure potency which manifests the whole world, and which manifests into something. That's another difference. Have I answered your question? I couldn't understand. Yeah. That's another difference, yes. You're correct. When we try to enjoy, it's totally different than when Krishna enjoys. Because Krishna has all these wonderful potencies which act to fulfill his desires, and we we always have to complain that the world doesn't do us the favor to fulfill our desires. Oh, why is the world so cruel to us? How can I convince you that Krishna's enjoyment spirit is not selfish? Yes. Yes. I'm totally aware of your question. In Germany, often people come and they are really envious of Krishna. Everything he wants, he immediately gets, and I am so poor. They're totally envious and so on. Hare Krishna. Yes, this is what the conditioned soul thinks. We are envious of Krishna. You've said it very politely and very disguised, but yes, we are envious of Krishna. We want to be Krishna. Now, to protect Krishna's integrity, I'm joking. I'm saying, I feel now I have to say something to protect Krishna, but this is not. See, whatever Krishna does, it is just wonderful. And everyone who is the object of Lord Krishna's enjoyment, he enjoys so much to be enjoyed by Krishna, because that's their ontological position in life. It is natural for every one of us to be serving the enjoyment of Lord Krishna. And we feel most happy in this situation. It is our this the fulfillment. We are made like this, just like a violin is meant to play. If you take the violin and put a nail into the wall, it may also work, but for some time, but you will destroy ultimately the violin. And you can't put nice nails into the walls, but it just doesn't work. So in our natural position, we are meant to join the enjoyment of Lord Krishna. He calls us. He comes here to dance his celebrated rasa dance, to invite us to come back in the spiritual world and dance with him the dance of pleasure. He does so. And it is our natural position. Then the violin doesn't, dharma or sanatana dharma means that thing to be instated in the function for which a particular object was created. The dharma of the violin is to play, and it will be properly, it's very happy when it plays. I mean, it's very nice sounds come. So in the same way, the living entity has the dharma, sanatana dharma, to serve the Supreme Lord. When it's in that position, it plays very nicely, the melody of love. But you will only be convinced that you should serve the enjoyment of Lord Krishna when you chant and chant and chant and purify your dirty, envious heart. Hare Krishna. This is the only thing we can... we are by nature envious of Krishna. That's why we are here. Why he? Why has he created everything so that he can enjoy? Very unfair. Let me run away from him and let me enjoy. This is why we are here. It is very deep. And it cannot be removed, this mentality, by hearing an answer from a poor conditioned soul called Satchinanda Swami. You have to chant. And it will purify your heart. And then you will all of a sudden think. You will find yourself with natural thought, how can I please Krishna? What can I do to serve Krishna? Oh, I have not served Krishna today, and it's already evening time. What to do? Let me sing a bhajan for him before I go to bed and please him.